Radio Sport.
Fast am I. Very good evening to you sports fans. How are you doing? Good? Good. It is lovely to be back with you once again. I hope you've had a wonderful week. Coming up on the show today, the NSC played host to a night of chaos in basketball yesterday.
I mean, it's chaos.
Well said, Martin Dunn there. Tony Meppam is in the studio with me today, as is a brand new guest, Miss Brisha Shaw.
Hello.
Hello, Brisha. And there's just one more sleep until the big one. The Parish Walk is back. So thank you very much for having me on this evening. I hope you've had a good week, and we're going to kick things off with the football, pun intended. So Tony Meppam is in the studio. Tony, would you like to give us the weather first or last?
We'll give you the weather now because it's nice and sunny. It's perfect tonight, isn't it? And it's perfect tomorrow. But then I hear there's a little bit of rain coming in on Sunday. So you haven't got it all how you would like it, but enjoy the sun tomorrow.
Absolutely, I agree with that. Now, we are going to do another live cup draw this evening, and this one is for the Ascot Hotel Junior Cup semi-finals. But before we come to that, we're going to talk about the Junior Cup quarter-final results from earlier this week, because there were some shock results. The favourites are out.
They certainly are, and to say they deserve to go out is not really the right words to say. It was just purely a brilliant performance by Peel. I knew it was coming because it's a very young side. They haven't finished second in the league because not a good side. And I was well and truly impressed. And I just look at the players that were there on show. I thought, you know, the future Peel is really bright if those young lads can stay, because, you know, when you look at most of them, we're sort of around the 16, 18 mark. Absolutely brilliant. And one person stood out for me was Thomas Brown. I thought he was superb. Took his first goal well to give Peel the lead. And then, you know, sort of it was nip and tuck a little bit for a while. But Peel just always seemed to have the better chances. And an own goal for Peel as well from Corinthians helped them. And then Peel got another one as well. But Kane Riding's cracking goal he got for Corinthians. Direct free kick straight in. Corinthians will be disappointed, but they'll look at, they had chances in the second half, so did Peel. But to me, Peel were worthy winners.
Excellent. And what about other results from earlier this week?
The results, Cup? Yeah, we knew it was going to be tight, Union Mills against Ramsey Youth Centre, because Union Mills have won the Combination 2 trophy, Ramsey Youth Centre just behind them. And it was 2-2 at full-time, 2-2 extra time. And then it went into a penalty shootout, and Ramsey Youth Centre won that 4-2. So went right to the wire, that one. Rushen against Laxey, Jordan Watterson in good form. He got a couple of goals for Rushen. For Laxey, I think disappointment, because after the result that they had in the last game, they just thought, we've got a great chance here. But when you looked at the draw, Peel, Corinthians, two top sides, Rushen as well, I thought that it was going to be a tough game for them, and it was. So Laxey went out. And Douglas Royal against Foxdale. Douglas Royal are in Canada Life Combination 1. Foxdale are in JCK Combination 2. And it was Douglas Royal who came out winners with a hat-trick by James Clark. It was 3-0 to Douglas Royal. So in the hat, we've got Ramsey Youth Centre, Peel, Rushen and Douglas Royal.
And before we come to said hat, there were also results from last night in the ECAP FA Cup semi-finals. Corinthians beat Rushing United 7-3 and Union Mills lost out to Ramsey 3-4.
Yeah, and there was a great game at Bala Fletcher, Corinthians against Rushing, because Corinthians took an early lead. I think it was about 3 minutes, but then you know, Rushing just kept chipping away, but Corinthians got a second one. You thought this is going to be their day here, but then Rushing got one back. It was 2-1. Then Corinthians got one. It was 3-1. Then Rushen got one. It was 3-2. Then Corinthians got one. It was 4-2. And then Rushen got one. It was 4-3. And then in the second part of the second half, Corinthians got another three goals to finish up 7-3 winners. And Sean Doyle was the star of the show. He got five. Dan Simpson got one. And Luke Murray got a goal as well. But Alex Guy got a super goal for Rushen. Mikey Williams got one, and Furrow Davies got the first. So good old battle, great crowd up there. And when you've got sort of 400, I think it was, playing rounders on the Vagabonds pitch next door, It was a scene of activity up there, but
great atmosphere.
Corinthians through to the final. And Uni Mills against Ramsey, good battle this one as well, because it was Luke Booth, Jordan Crawley scoring again. Ryan Kelly got one from the penalty spot to make it 3-3. And it did look as if it was going to go into extra time, but Ramsey got the goal, I think it was the 90th minute in normal time, to make the result theirs. They won 4-3, and Ramsey will be looking forward to playing the final a week tomorrow.
Two very exciting matches by the sound of it. Shall we move on to this live draw?
Yes.
Norman is in the studio. Norman Mackey, how are you today?
I'm fine, thank you very much.
Excellent. And you were here last time we did the draw, so you're a seasoned pro now.
Of course I am.
So, Tony, would you like to take it away?
Yeah, I will. Norman, you've got the balls. There's four in the bag. And if you could draw the first one out, please.
Of course. Tony, first one is number one.
Number one is Douglas Royal.
And the second one is number two.
Well, you shuffled these up. Number two is Peel.
Solid shuffling.
And, of course, the third one is number three.
Which is Ramsey, you sent it, an old boys.
And would you believe the fourth one is number four?
Wow.
And number four is Russian. That doesn't happen very often. I think we've had it before, but it's not a common thing. But two great semi-finals. Douglas Royal up at Ballo Fletcher against Peel, who, to me, are favourites. I was really impressed with them on Wednesday. And Ramsey, you sent it, an old boys, who are now promoted into Combination 1 for next season. So this year they've played Division 2 Combi against Russian, who are a very strong team as well. So I would say that on paper, Peel are favourites to win their game and Russian are favourites to win theirs. What a cracking Ascot Hotel final we would have. And that's the semi-finals on next Wednesday and the finals the Wednesday after. So a little bit of wait for them, but it won't harm them.
But that final is going to be the big finale for the football season, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, because it was just the way it was. Normally, the Junior Cup and the Hospital Cup run together. We haven't been able to do the Hospital Cup this season, just purely we haven't got time. So we kept the FA Cup, as we did a couple of years ago. We put it on a Saturday, and it's gone down really well playing the Junior Cup midweek on a Wednesday instead of some players who can play Saturday and Sunday. It just gives them a little bit of a rest. And yeah, what two great finals coming up, but we've got two semis next Wednesday. I'll go through the draw again. Douglas Royal, Peel, Ramsey Ascent against Russian. Then on Saturday the 26th, we'll have the ECAP FA Cup final between Corinthians and Ramsey. That's 3 o'clock kickoff at the Bowl.
What are you predicting from that one?
You look at the league table, don't you? And, you know, Corinthians have won the league. They've won the Railway Cup. They have to start off as favourites. The forward line at the moment is on fire. Dan Simpson, Sean Doyle is unbelievable at the moment, untouchable. Then you've got Luke Murray as well, who's playing ever so well. And Steve Whitley, I thought, had a great game last night. But, you know, so you've got to look at Corinthians on that one. But the Junior Cup, I think Peel and Russian will get through to the final. I'm not sort of being horrible to the other two teams, but you have to look at the league positions. Mm-hmm. And then we'll see who wins in that one. But I think Peel, if they can show that same performance on Wednesday, next Wednesday, as they did the Wednesday just gone, then look out Russian. But, you know, that's one of the best Combination 1 games I've seen. And I've been involved in Manx football for 40-odd years.
Mm, and big statement.
It was absolutely outstanding. And a lot of people said two teams full at it. It wasn't just one team. And a lot of good young players. And all them good young players hopefully will filter through into the senior teams in the next year or two.
Who are you going to put your money on, Norman?
I'll go along with I'll go along with what Tony's told you.
Okay.
I fancy Peel.
Fancy Peel,
especially after beating Corinthians, because I thought Corinthians would probably beat them, but no. Mm-hmm. So Peel must be red hot favourites.
I will also go for Peel. And talking about the women's side of things, Onkin are looking to develop a new women's team, which is exciting.
Yeah, it's brilliant news. I've been speaking to Brian Callow this week, and credit to them. They've been sort of in the background for a while now because they've got a lot of junior girls playing, and it's great to see them filter through. And now they've got a bit of a commitment from some senior girls players who haven't maybe played for a couple of years, which is good, because there's no point in the club forming if they're going to raid another club and put them out of business. Mm. So it doesn't happen. So, you know, at the moment, we've got a good chance here of two sides coming into the women's football that give us eight, which is absolutely brilliant. You know, if Ramsey Youth Centre and Old Boys pull it off, they're into training now with Andy Black, and by all accounts, it's going really well. But Onken, they've got big projects on at the moment. They're looking to develop a pitch on Blackberry Lane. The first team won the Paul Henry last Saturday. What an amazing final that is. And credit to them. They work tirelessly behind the scenes, Onken, to try and keep the junior football going. And now that they've got this women's team, absolutely brilliant. Well done to them.
Well, thank you very much, Norman and Tony. We're going to talk about the parish walk next. Are either of you two participating tomorrow?
I did it 10 years ago and I got to Peel and thoroughly enjoyed it. Great occasion, but I think the body's too old now to do anything like that. But I think you should do, Ree.
Do you?
Next year, I think, Ree, you should do it. You're a young lady.
I think, well, I can't, my Achilles, you see.
Yeah. Is that because of your accident?
It's because of my accident, yeah.
We'll let you off then.
I'll probably have another one around the parish walk next year, so I can't commit, sorry.
Okay.
Norman?
No.
Okay. Straightforward answer. I like it. So the parish walk returns this weekend with more than 1,800 people having entered the event. The 85-mile challenge was one of many events called off last year due to the coronavirus pandemic. Race director Ray Cox spoke to Manx Radio Breakfast, Ben and Sean, earlier this week.
Well, we've got changes every year, but of course this year it's been forced upon us by the regeneration work on the promenade. So the traditional site by the War Memorial for our finish has had to be moved, and we've moved back to the north end of the promenade. So we're opposite the Terminus Pub. So the walkers will do a 950-metre loop up and down the prom and back to the north end.
So this time tomorrow then, you're going to be kind of heading towards Moraine if you're doing the parish. What do you need to be thinking about now? What do you do food-wise? How do you prepare yourself the day before?
Well, I think be rested, absolutely. Don't do too much. Rest up and then eat and drink plenty, and tomorrow morning drinking plenty before the start. Drink before you feel thirsty.
Okay, and the weather is looking potentially pretty perfect with a cool breeze southeasterly taking you up the slock, not too bright. It's looking pretty good.
Yeah, I'd say perfect parish walk weather. So not too hot, no rain. So we can't ask for more.
Yeah, and finally, Ray, in terms of who you think might be first across the line at tomorrow night, for the last few years, Liam Parker, Richard Gerrard have sort of flip-flopped as the winner. They've got to be sort of their real contenders. Is there anybody else that you think might be sort of challenging them?
I think they're out on their own. I think those two are going to be looking at each other and looking at a tactical race, and I don't expect either one or two will be over the line first.
Race director Ray Cox there, chatting to our Ben and Sean. Very best of luck to all of you parish walkers tomorrow. Just remember, when you hit the wall, failure is not an option. Only joking. We are all rooting for you up here. And Manx Radio will be covering the event pretty much throughout the entire day with Chris Cave and Paul Moran. So you've got that to look forward to as well. We're talking about basketball next.
Manx Radio Sport.
And chaos ensued at the NSC last night in yet another incredibly exciting night of basketball. Publicity officer Martin Dunn gave me the scoop earlier today.
I mean, it's chaos insofar as the league is so close this year that the game between Cavaliers, Microgaming Cavaliers, and Forget Me Not Jets could have had Cavaliers go for either fifth place, fourth place, or second place, depending on how that game panned out. And it went in a way that's caused a little bit of chaos in the schedule ahead of the playoffs starting next week.
How so? What does it mean for Cavs and for the other teams in the league?
Well, it was widely expected. I think it's fair to say that Jets were going to win that game. And Cavaliers have a habit of liking to upset expectations sometimes, and they definitely did that last night. They came out strong from the first half. There was an absolute deluge of three-point shots. Phil Evans was on fire. There was no stopping him. Shooting from outside the arc with unbelievable consistency, put Cavs ahead by 12 points at half time, and they managed to hold on to that lead. Jets offense not quite flowing the way that they do normally. They got close a couple of times but never managed to get into the lead themselves, and the game ended with Cavs up by 3, 61-58. That means that Cavaliers now have a record that is the same as my own team, Wolves, but for the fact that Cavaliers have one game in hand, which was planned to be played after the playoffs with the agreement of all teams. Again, because it was quite widely expected forget-me-not Jets would win that game. Because Cavs have won, it now means that that game has to be played ahead of the playoffs on Thursday, so it's going to happen on Sunday, and then if they win, which they're likely to do, but this could be the week for upsets, they will then take second place, and that will be the seeding for the playoffs.
Basically, a load of basketball in the next week.
Yeah, a sudden panic to schedule a game that had been planned for after the playoffs to now make sure it happens before the playoffs, but it's part of the legacy of having to reschedule the games because of COVID and everything else. And it's a reflection on how close the league has been this year. I mean, there are four teams with basically the same record, and it's going down. For example, the Cavaliers and my team Wolves, we both have the same record, and it's down to the head-to-head result. They beat us once, we beat them once, they managed to beat us by just a couple more points, so they take second place, we take third.
That's really exciting. What happened with Jets last night then? If they were expected to win that game, what went wrong?
I think they just didn't quite find their flow. Their fast break was disrupted. Cavaliers definitely came with a game plan. You know, Jets have a great inside game. They also have a really great fast break game. Neither of those was allowed to develop, with Cavaliers really going for the ball. As soon as the turnovers happened, they were throwing themselves in front of the ball handler, making sure he couldn't get a break down the court. And on the inside game, they were playing very, very strong. They did well as well in shutting down some of the shots. Jets have some good three-point shooters in Paul Killick and in Tom Dalton Brown. Neither of them were quite hitting the mark. Paul Killick did get a final shot in the last few seconds from outside the three-point line that would have equalized the game, but it was millimeters to the right, and it just didn't drop. So, I mean, it was just not Jets night, I think is the way to say it.
So that was seen as like the big upset of the night, the big exciting game of the night, but there were two other matches. So what happened in those games?
Yeah, so the other match in the senior league was Turkeys versus Eagles. Eagles, again, a youthful team, quite sprightly, quite fast. They weren't allowed to develop that game in the game against Turkeys. Turkeys really slowing them down and ensuring that they had the physicality inside, which just bumped Eagles off, stopped them from going anywhere. Wolfie outside shooting, Chris Wolfendale, unbelievable, 27 points. His 9 3-pointers in that game equaled all the 3-pointers Cavaliers got in their upset win against Jets.
Wow.
So unbelievable shooter. He hasn't had form the last few games, but definitely back on form now. Very dangerous going into the playoffs for any other team. The other game was then a free court was available. So the ladies organised hoops, organised a ladies league match. That has been disrupted by COVID as well. We had a great ladies league being set up. And it was a friendly match between the reds and the blacks, the two kits that they had. Really
so
enjoyable.
Like high school, isn't it?
Yeah,
go
yeah.
Reds.
Brilliant. The reds and the blacks. But it was a good game. It was enjoyable. And it was great to see people getting back into the sport as well.
Martin Dunn there. And if you want to check out all the action for yourselves, you can head down to the NSC this Sunday from 2 o'clock.
Manx Radio Sport.
So outside of the parish walk, the Isle of Man Schoolboy Motocross Club has something in store for all you motorsport enthusiasts this weekend. It's holding its SummerSlam 1 doubleheader motocross event over the next 2 days. The event is open to all classes and will be classed as rounds 1 and 2 of the Isle of Man SBMX Summer Series 2021. Races on both days are being held at Ballygarran in Jerby. For more information on the event schedule, you can head on over to manxradio.com and find that on our sports page. In tennis, and all of Albany Club's junior coaching is back on after the half-term break. The sessions cover all ages and abilities. You can find a full list of Monday to Saturday classes online. Elsewhere, the club is calling on more women to sign up for the Isle of Man LTA Mixed Doubles League. So you only have until this weekend to get involved. There's currently enough members to enter about 5 or 6 teams. And also an email and number to get involved can be found on our sports page. And on Tuesday, the 29th, Albany is running another Open American tournament, and that's open to non-members as well. And so far, players from Douglas, Castletown and Ramsey have all entered. Entries are £2 and close at 6 p.m. on the 29th of June. A draw for partners will happen at 6:45 and play starts at 7 o'clock prompt. And if the weather isn't good, don't worry, they've got that covered. The plan will then be to move indoors and play a champion tie break. And that's all for this week's Friday Sport Preview. Thank you very much for tuning in. It's been a pleasure, as always. Thank you very much to weatherman and wonderful man Tony Meppham and to Norman Mackie from Ascot Hotel. Again, very best of luck to all of you parish walking tomorrow and your supporters. I hope you have an awesome time and have as few blisters as possible. Manx Radio will be covering the event throughout the day, so you'll be able to hear updates with Chris Cave and Paul Moran. Until tomorrow, have an excellent Friday night. Bye for now.